sky. Is there a moon up there? Is anything alive now? This darkness is what I hear. This is a breathless silence.
Chapter 13, Apex Predator. We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. Plato. Hello, you're watching CNN. This is Jane Connor in New York. Coming up, we're going to have some video from, or an exclusive interview with, Tunisia's Prime Minister regarding the recent unrest. But first, breaking news. It has been confirmed that the man who has come to be known as the Red Dragon, a serial killer charged with the murder of two families in Birmingham and Atlanta, and assaulting several employees at the National Gallery in New York, has committed suicide. Earlier today, FBI officials told CNN reporters that the Red Dragon, now confirmed as Francis Dolarahyde of St. Louis, was thought to have been attempting a murder-suicide with a female colleague. From the remains found, it appears he shot himself after setting his house on fire. The woman, who will remain unnamed, was saved from the fire by one of the agents collaborating on this gruesome case. We are live now with Agent Jack Crawford of the Behavioral Analysis Unit in Quantico for more. So, Agent Crawford, is this an unexpected end to this chilling story?
Well, Jane, there's not really... We don't like to make a lot of generalities about serial murder because it's such a changeable thing. Those who perpetrate these sorts of crimes do so for wildly different reasons, or some have similar, if not identical, MOs. We try our best to follow the behavior they show and calculate how to react. I'll admit that I had a feeling that it would end with the perpetrator taking his own life. There were several key factors: his unstable behavior, the sexual nature of his crimes, a few more things I won't disclose.
But there wasn't a body for a full ID. Is it safe to say the remains in the fire are conclusive?
Oh, yes. We don't just rely on fingerprints and facial recognition. Our ID section here at Quantico can use many different tricks. Our guy had a very distinctive dental pattern, which we have used to identify him. Also, the witness at the scene of the fire confirms that he committed suicide.
Well, I'm sure we'll all sleep better tonight knowing that.
We sure will.
Before we run out of time, just one more question. There has been a lot of controversy regarding the involvement of a previous BAU agent in this investigation, Will Graham.
I don't think...
Only it has been confirmed that he was involved.
Yes, he was. In fact, you can thank your lucky stars we brought him in. Will was integral in finding this serial murderer. If he hadn't, another woman would have lost her life to his spree.
It has also been confirmed that your unit was consulting with Dr. Hannibal Lecter, Graham's mate. What are your thoughts about allowing contact between an Omega and their Alpha after incarceration?
I really don't want to get into that.
I don't know if you've seen it, but Baltimore's Mayor Finn Jefferson has spoken out publicly against your allowance of an, as he quotes, unstable Omega to be prime on a case that requires such delicacy.
If I can be frank, Jane, I'm not in politics for a reason. Both myself and Will Graham were given the roles we were because we're good at what we do. If Mayor Jefferson has something to contribute to our unit, he can go through official channels.
Ouch, Will thought, as Jane Connor thanked Crawford and moved on to the next headline.
You're going to pay for that one, Jack. Purnell is going to be all over you like a rash.
Pulling out his headphones allowed the gentle hum of the plane to roam back into place, while the news continued silently on his phone in his pocket. He rolled his shoulders, but the ache in them didn't abate. Airline seats had never agreed with him. He wished someone at the FBI had splashed out for first-class seats. It was the least they could have done. Next to him, in the window seat, Eleanor was fast asleep, small enough to curl up, with her head on a big stuffed toy dog that Will had bought her at the airport. Will reached down and brushed a stray ringlet from her face.
Presents were always bought when Will was feeling stressed and guilty. Ellie had been odd with him after he'd picked her up from Marquez. She was quiet and withdrawn. Will had felt it like a stone in his heart. "Heard about McLean," Marquez had said as Will packed up the few things he'd left at the safe house. "You did good." "Anyone would have." He tried to shrug it off. "Not many. You did good. She missed you. Eleanor really missed you. Now you take her home, and don't take it personally, but I don't want to see you back here. Yeah?" "Yeah." Will had smiled. When they got to the airport, Ellie had still been soberly quiet, but she'd let him hold her hand. Will had spied the toy dog, horrendously expensive and oversized, and he pulled out his meager credit card. "Hey, Squirt," he'd said, crouching down in front of her and putting the toy in her arms. "Do you miss the dogs, too?" She nodded, taking it in her small arms, squeezing it with her hands. Her eyes were focused on him, her face oddly shy. "So do I."
"Are we going home now?"
"Yeah, yes, I'm taking us home."
"Can I have the window?"
For some reason, the trivial nature of the question made him smile. He had to swallow down the rising emotion. Jack was right. She was young enough not to care what he had put her through, as long as she got him back. "Don't fuck up this second chance, Graham." "I'll make sure you get the window." He leaned in and pulled her to him with a hug, kissing her forehead. "Don't you worry." The in-flight movie was trash. The news was depressing. Will tried to doze, but the things behind his eyes weren't conducive to sleep. Charred black teeth, and a ball-joint metal hip going down into the bone. The remains of the Red Dragon seemed small and insignificant and entirely unreal. Will asked their air hostess if she had any aspirin. She got him some and a glass of water. He decided not to take them dry.
"Daddy, can I get the bags? I want to get my bag."
It was like night and day, before she'd gone to sleep and when she'd woken up. Will was no fool. He knew she was still cautious of him. He could feel it. But she was being herself again. That was all he needed right now. They walked out into the busy airport with its echoing sounds and muffled tannoy, and Will felt a million miles from Baltimore. It felt good, if he didn't focus on the bad parts. "Sure you can. You know what it looks like?"
"Uh-huh. It's red with a big yellow flower. You hold Winston?"
"Okay." Will took the toy, which Ellie had refused to let go of since he'd given it to her. "But don't run off without me. Ellie!" he shouted, as her eyes lit up and she ran off into the crowd, waiting by arrivals.
"Daddy! Daddy, look!"
"Ellie, don't run! Wait!" Then he saw what she saw. Will slowed to a walk, then stopped altogether. There seemed to be a causeway between them, even as people moved back and forth while Will watched Jeffrey Milo reach down and scoop Ellie up, giving her a tight hug while she buried her face in his neck.
"Hey, sweet thing. How you been? I missed you."
Will stared at him. God, he looked good. Really good. Back home kind of good. It was hot in the airport, even with the air conditioning. But Jeff was wearing a denim jacket over his green t-shirt. The beige trousers he wore looked odd with his bright green sandals. He looked a little odd. And damn good. He looks odd, period, Will thought. Because I don't know what to do with this.
"Where'd you go?"
Ellie was asking in a slow, careful tone. "I had some things I had to sort out," Jeff said. "Grown-up things. Silly things."
"I missed you. Daddy missed you, too."
"He did, huh?" Milo looked over to him. Will shifted on his feet and scanned the crowd. Jeff put Ellie down and cleared his throat. There was a long silence, in which Ellie looked between them and rocked back and forward on her feet, bottom lip between her teeth, utterly oblivious to the tension.
"The bags!"
she whined. "Right." Will licked his lips. "Let's go get the bags." Jeff and Will stood together in the crowd from Flight 129 while Ellie hopped up and down by the carousel, her eyes searching avidly for their slow-moving belongings. He'd given her back Winston the dog, and she shook the slightly ruffled toy as she bounced about like a frog hopping lily pads. They were silent, but Will could feel the unsaid words resting in the foot of space between them. Will tried to remember the last thing he'd said to Jeff, but it was lost to the misty night of alcohol and regret. In the end, it seemed appropriate to start small.
"How'd you find us?"
he finally asked.
Crawford. You gave me his number before you left, remember?
Sure.
I saw the news. About the Tooth Fairy, Dragon, whatever he was calling himself. I wanted to come out to the hospital, but Crawford, well, he said you were already headed home. He gave me the flight number.
Okay.
Silence, but for the sounds of the airport humming and chattering around them. Jeff cleared his throat and moved on his feet before asking,
He really dead?
Uh-huh. And you're really coming home?
I'm here, aren't I?
But are you coming home?
It was difficult, because he didn't want to breach it. It had been over. They were over. And that had been that. It hurt. It fucking hurt to remember it. And Will hadn't wanted to ever think about it again, because he hadn't thought there was any chance that he was allowed to be normal, and that he'd even want it if it were there.
I don't think that's up to me, Will said.
Then it's up to me? Jeff asked, slipping his hand in along Will's back and grabbing him by the waist.
Because here's your answer.
The first try, Jeff bumped their noses together. The second, he stood on Will's foot, trying to get a better angle. By the time Milo managed to kiss him, Will was laughing softly.
Well, that went better in my head, Jeff sighed.
I hope so, because if that's how you imagined it, I'll worry about you.
Want to try it again?
Will swallowed, looked up, and found himself staring into Milo's green eyes. It had been a while since he'd seen anyone look at him unguarded, open. The last had been Hannibal, sitting in his cramped cell. The thought had Will swallowing as he reached up and smoothed his hand a little jerkily down Jeff's neck.
Don't screw up your second chances, he warned himself. Don't fucking screw them both up.
He knew the people around them were staring, or shaking their heads, or muttering about inappropriate, in public, etc. Will couldn't have cared less.
Yeah, I could go for that, he said quietly.
What a coincidence, Jeff murmured. The kiss was soft and slow. Jeff added a little tongue. Will looped his arms around Jeff's neck. Jeff put his hands into the small of Will's back. It fit in all the right places. When they pulled apart, Milo looked flushed. He cleared his throat and grinned.
You've been working on that, he said, trying to divert away from his bashfulness.
Well, you know me. I must have had a dozen guys at the station in St. Louis, Will joked, smiling. Maybe even some of the women, too.
Oh, yeah? Did you bring me my present from the Easter Bunny while you were at it?
I don't know. Will pushed his thigh forward until it rubbed against the rock-hard cock in Jeff's trousers, making the man inhale sharply.
If your present is the gun in your pocket, then yeah, I might have.
And Will allowed himself to imagine that this was enough, because pretending was so much easier than the truth.
I found it!
Ellie was calling, pointing to her little suitcase.
Daddy, you'll miss it!
I got it, honey, Will said as he disentangled himself.
Oh, there's my one, too. Nice job, Eagle Eyes.
Come on, let's head back to the ranch, Will said, while Ellie giggled at his John Wayne impression. Jeff drove them home in his dark blue Ford Tahoe. The trailer was still attached to the back, but the boat was missing. It rattled as they drove. Will sat in the front and watched Miami ripple in the hot sun. Everyone was on the streets, hair down, laid back, clothes as few as possible. It was about an hour and a half drive back to the Keys. When they got down to Manatee Bay, Will rolled his window down, soaking in the smell of the ocean, so different from the grimy cities, where the air seemed greasy and stuck to the skin.
Susan home? Will asked.
No, she's still with her sister.
Does she know you're here?
Uh-huh.
Does she know I'm here?
Uh-huh. Will left it at that. Jeff drove up his own driveway and parked.
I thought Ralph had them, Will said when Jeff opened his front door and five barking dogs bounded out.
He crouched down but was soon bowled over, all tongues and yapping and paws.
Oh, hey, come on now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I missed you guys too.
Oh, come on. Will laughed as his biggest, Angel the Bernese Mountain Dog, licked his face eagerly.
I love you, too.
Buster, watch those claws, buddy.
I brought them over when I got back a few days ago, Jeff said as he put their bags inside.
Thought they'd appreciate the company.
Will was laughing as Buster, the Jack Russell, cross-jumped up on his chest and sat down.
I'd say I hoped they weren't a handful, but there's not much point.
They're not bad, Jeff said as he gave him a hand up, as Ellie ran into the house, laughing as she trailed dogs after her like a freight train, considering their owner such an animal. The momentum of Milo's pull allowed Will to gather him close. Jeff laughed a little as Will leaned in, murmuring into his ear,
I'm going to put Ellie down for a nap and take a shower. Want to join me?
Jeff seemed to be breathing him in as if to check if he were real. Then he said,
Don't have to ask me twice.
Despite her sleep on the plane, Ellie was tired when he carried her up to Jeff's guest bedroom on the second floor.
You'll be here when I wake up?
She asked sleepily as he drew the curtains against the sunshine.
I sure will, kiddo, he said as he leaned down to kiss her cheek. I'm not going anywhere.
Can I have chicken for dinner?
She yawned.
Your wish is my command.
Will set up Anthony's old baby monitor in the room, flickering red and green in time with her sleepy breaths. Then he pulled the door closed behind him and went to the bedroom, putting the other monitor on the bedside cabinet. The shower was already running in the next room. He could hear the soft shush of the water. Will stripped, feeling as if he were pulling away layers of debris with every single thing removed. His sweaty shirt, his trousers with the coffee stain on the thigh, his socks, his boxers, his watch. Each piece was the dirt and the smoke and the blood and the shadows and the eyes watching him and the feel of the hand skimming his back and the lips at his ear.
Darling.
Will shivered despite the heat.
Won't, shouldn't, can't help but.
He walked to the bathroom naked. It let him enjoy Jeff's slight surprise, his eyes jumping down Will's body as he held his hand under the spray to adjust the temperature. Will had to wonder what Milo saw, if he could see the black bits clinging to him like leeches in the same way that Will felt them there, feeding. He didn't give Jeff the chance to speak. Instead, he took him by the neck and arm and kissed him. It didn't take long for Milo to shimmy out of his own clothes. Then they were under the water, and by God, it felt good against his tired skin. And Jeff was running his fingers gently over the stitches at his neck and on his right cheek, over the still shiny skinned burns on his arms. And Will didn't want to remember the heat and the flames and being left to die, so. Their kiss became a slippery mess of tongues and hands and soap because he needed it to wash off all the things he couldn't think about. Not anymore. And then Jeff had him against the tiles with a strong and wonderful intensity. And hell, he'd miss being touched with such perfect carelessness. And Jeff nudged Will's legs apart and was sliding his fingers in, which was almost enough to distract from knowing they were the wrong hands on him and the wrong mouth touching his, and the real need in him still churning. As Will let his head fall back and panted, Milo stroking Will's stiff cock with his other hand while he asked,
Tell me what you need, beautiful. Tell me what you need.
The wrong question. Will knew it the moment it hit the air. He opened his eyes and saw the things he was not supposed to. Not just somewhere in the room, not seen through the misting steam rising in the air, but there, touching him, all around him, inside him. For a few moments too long, Will Graham became blind to Jeffrey Milo, and instead saw what he needed. Hannibal stared down at him, hair wet, face flushed and open, and willing as he slid another finger in to join the rest. Willing to enjoy the best while ignoring the worst. Will huffed out a harsh groan and contracted around the intruding digits. The memory was fierce and alive, and Will wasn't sure which reality was the one he should be waking from.
You, he admitted brokenly. I need you.
Soon Will had his face buried in the damp skin of Jeff's neck, while Milo took him slowly, rocking up and back with appreciated gentleness. Will thought he might have spoken, but most of it made little sense. They pushed it right up to the edge. Will could feel they were both close. When Milo tried to pull out, Will held him tightly and muttered, Inside. Jeff groaned loudly and pushed in tight and fast until Will could feel the heat blossom within him. By his ear, Will thought he could hear words, mushy under the sounds of the water and their panted breaths.
You left me there, Hannibal was saying. You left me.
I'm sorry, Will whispered, shivering.
I'm so sorry. Huh? Milo asked. Nothing. It's nothing. Will kissed him again. Nothing at all. Oh, come on. Will shook his head, smiling slyly. That can't be right. You're cheating. He's cheating, right, Ellie? She was grinning, pushing her face into Winston as she sat at the dining room chair and watched them play. Will sighed as she shook her head, her face and her girlish laughter lost to the plush fur. It was the next day, and little had changed. Will wasn't sure what he had expected, but things had been entirely uneventful. It made a nice change to the last few weeks, waking up as if he hadn't slept, feeling exhausted and yet wired, constantly in pain. Now he woke next to Soft Skin, sleepy snoring and half-asleep hands that searched for him when he got up too early. It was pleasant. Normal. Some sort of fantasy, he was sure. He hadn't been back to his house yet. He wasn't sure why, but they'd stayed at Milo's until lunch. Then lunch had passed, and they'd gone out to get groceries, and they'd driven right past Will's driveway. He hadn't questioned it yet. Turning up at Jeff's store, it felt like he wasn't truly home just yet, that there was something else left to do. Will rolled again, the dice clacking on the board as it tumbled. A 4. There, that's better. Now who's cheating? Jeff said, as Will moved his piece across the board. No one likes a sore loser, Will said, as he handed Ellie the dice. She threw it awkwardly into the air, and it landed a perfect 6, making Will raise a brow. Now that's how you roll a dice. As Jeff moved her playpiece forwards, Will felt his phone ring in his pocket. Fishing it out revealed a text from Crawford. Will hesitated. The quick jump of his pulse made for a sinking realization. You were waiting for this. The preview of the script on his screen only showed him. You're not going to. He swallowed and opened it. You're not going to believe this. The text message read in full. After it was a link. Will pressed it, and it brought up his browser. When he saw the name of the site, he almost closed it again. It was the headline that made him stay. Tattler.com. Prolific cannibal serial killer sues asylum doctor that treated him for misconduct. It was revealed today that the infamous Dr. Hannibal Lecter isn't mad about the service at the Baltimore State Asylum for the Criminally Insane. This reporter learned from inside sources that Dr. Frederick Chilton, the top dog at BSHCI, has been accused by Lecter of unfair treatment and inhuman punishments during his 3-year stay. Further to Lecter's complaints, several of the other inmates have also lobbed complaints at their jailer, everything from sleep deprivation to removing the toilet seats from the cells. It seems that Dr. Lecter isn't the only sadist in the joint. To avoid muddying the waters, Lecter is being taken off-site to talk with his family's lawyers and consult with medical and psychological examinations before this whole mess is taken to trial. So if you see any white vans with Baltimore plates passing in your area, you might just be seeing Hannibal the Cannibal drive by. Watch the space, Tattlers. Will clicked his screen dark and turned his phone off. Jack was right. Will couldn't believe it. They'd managed to replace Freddie Lowndes with someone with even less talent. He didn't think he'd seen so many grammar mistakes in one place at one time in a published piece. Even the headline was fucking hilarious. It sounded like Chilton had been treating Lecter for misconduct rather than serial murder. Hey, your turn, Jeff was saying. Oh, yeah. Everything okay? Fine and dandy, Will lied as he rolled a 2. Fine and dandy. That night, Will made Ellie's second favorite meal, turkey burgers, fresh tomato sauce, and spaghetti. They ate out on the porch and listened to the ocean while Jeff told Will and Ellie about a work trip he'd once taken to Vietnam to identify a mysterious creature that had been pulled from the ocean. Days trekking to the site, bugs eating him alive, having to negotiate with the locals who were treating the animal as sacred, having to delay the funeral that they had set up by 2 days. Turned out it was a whale, was the punchline, making Will shake his head and smile at Jeff's bluntness. But still, it was a pretty cool whale. Will fell asleep on the sofa with Eleanor after dinner while they watched Finding Nemo. Odd dreams plagued him while his eyes were closed, but they slipped away as his eyes opened, leaving him with nothing but a sense of loss. When he woke up, Jeff was shaking him gently, and the sun was waning in the west, setting the whole sky on fire. The gulls were calling outside while they rode the last of the thermals. The living room was cast in long shadow. The TV was black and cold. Where's Ellie? Will asked blearily. I took her up to bed. Kid's totally pooped. Think all that traveling yesterday did her in. You coming up?
Yeah. Will blinked. What time is it?
Just past 9. I thought we could have an early night after all the excitement yesterday.
Oh?
Will smiled softly.
No funny ideas, Graham. Ellie's not the only tired one around here.
You're no fun. Let me make a quick phone call. I'll see you upstairs. Earlier, on reading the Tatler article, he hadn't wanted to. Now, comfortable and warm and a little sleepy, the terse feelings had left him. Even if the loss hadn't. He picked up his phone and dialed the familiar number. It rang out twice before anyone picked up.
Lecter residence?
A polite New England accent answered.
I'd like to speak with Lady Murasaki.
She is currently indisposed.
It's urgent.
May I ask who is calling?
Tell her it's Will Graham, and that if she doesn't take it now, I'll just keep calling back.
Of course,
the accent said uncertainly. The wait was long and echoing. Will thought he could hear far-off noises. The sounds of the house where he and Hannibal had been the furthest apart, while also being the place that had pushed them closer together. He remembered the house with a lot less than fondness. Antipathy, maybe. Will thought that was about right. Antipathy. Eventually, there was a scraping sound, then breath.
I doubt what is urgent to you is also urgent to me.
Oh, I don't know, Will said acidly. Sometimes the two overlap.
He knew she understood him.
Hannibal.
I can give you 2 minutes.
Murasaki's sharp tone was as familiar as ever.
All I'll need, Will said.
So, this is your doing?
Pardon?
She asked, offended.
Sending Chilton down the river? Was it yours or Hannibal's?
My nephew informed me of his ill treatment and asked for my help. Is that something you find out of the ordinary?
After 3 years, he suddenly throws you this line and you don't find it the least bit odd?
I'm amazed that you did not question these injustices when you saw them yourself.
He was fine last time I laid eyes on him. Reveling, in fact.
The eyes of the snake have a better view than that of the mouse in its burrow.
Burrow?
Will laughed nastily. Seeing Will as the predator and Hannibal the poor victim tickled him to no end.
Have you ever seen Hannibal's cell, Lady Murasaki?
Silence.
Oh, so you've never been.
I see. Well, let me paint you a picture. It's 12x16, gray walls and a white corridor, enough to turn your eyes. The bed is barely long enough to hold him. Toilet, sink, all open-fronted with tight bars. He has his sketches on the walls, and he has his books on his shelf, except when Chilton takes them away for threatening people. Or worse. In his spare time, he likes to speak to second-rate psychiatrists, write journal articles, read Italian poetry, and rip out nurses' eyes and tongues. His voice raised as his throat constricted.
Are those the injustices you're speaking about?
He is alone.
He made himself that way.
Will bit back.
You want him to be trapped there forever,
she accused venomously.
Of course I fucking don't.
They both fell silent. Will found it difficult to breathe. He ripped the phone from his ear before Murasaki had a chance to reply and ended the call. The soft silence of the house seemed to stare at him. Will rubbed at his face and tried to calm down. There seemed no chance of that. When he went upstairs, Jeff was already dozing. The bedroom was painted red with the sunset. It was unnerving. He didn't like it. Too close to the last 3.5 weeks. Will pulled the curtains to and undressed. When he slipped under the thin blanket, a warm arm pulled him close. Jeff's tired voice spoke from the bloom.
Earlier, I asked if everything was okay, and you said yeah.
Will wanted to refute him, say it was nothing, keep the lie going for as long as he could. Instead, it choked in his throat. He took a long sigh and reached up, running his hands over Jeff's arm, through the silky blonde hairs there.
I might have underplayed that a little.
How much is a little?
A lot, Will said.
He cleared his throat.
Hannibal suing Chilton for misconduct.
Uh-huh.
That's all it is. It isn't anything to worry about.
So, who'd you call?
His aunt. I just wanted to know why, or how. I just wanted to know what's going on.
Okay, Really okay? Yeah, you're not there with him. You're here with me.
Jeff leaned in and kissed his jaw.
That's all I need to know right now.
Jeff.
Hmm?
Thanks.
What for?
You know what for. Will turned over onto his side and curled around Milo, resting his head on his shoulder. He swallowed and forced his face against Jeff's skin.
I'm gonna check out. Don't wake me.
I won't. A week or so later, Will walked back through his own front door. The air smelled a little musty with the heat and the absence. He opened a few windows in the kitchen in the front room to make a through draft. Then he sorted through his mail. Bills, some more bills, some adverts for a new boat tours company further down the beach, a couple of credit cards trying to sell themselves, and his paycheck. Will opened it and found the familiar layout of the FBI payroll system. Everything broken down into expenses, and hours worked, and danger pay, and so on and so on. It was more than he would make in 6 months working at the garage. Will stared at the figure for a little while, then stuffed it back into the envelope and put the whole pile on the dining table. He spent half an hour emptying the fridge of spoiled food, cleaning it, making lists of things that needed done. Then he picked up the mail and left his silent house the way he had found it, but for the windows, which he left open just a crack. He was at the bank when the call came through.
Hey.
Jeff sounded a little out of breath.
Hi. You okay?
Me? Jeff laughed through his panting.
Yeah, fine. I thought the dogs were bad, but Eleanor sure knows how to make you run.
I told you to put the harness on her in the department store.
Where's the fun in that?
Milo said. Will shook his head and moved forward in the long line. There was a sound of car doors on the other end, an engine starting.
Anyway, I was just wondering if you needed anything brought in. We're heading for Publix up at Tradewinds.
What's your plan for tonight? It's meant to be nice till late. We could barbecue on the beach.
Sounds good to me. They have that great deli there. I'll get a bunch. You like mackerel, right?
Love it. So does Ellie.
Oh, and could you grab some dog food? They like the 777 dry and Skippy for the cans.
And here I was just feeding them steak.
Aw, don't spoil them,
Will said, hesitating before he added.
Could you maybe get some nice dessert for Ellie?
Let her pick.
Still feeling guilty, huh?
Don't rub it in.
Yes, boss.
Hey, no bedroom talk in public, Will teased.
All right, I'll save it for later.
See you.
By the time he hung up, he was at the front of the line. Will sorted his check and made sure his overdue bills were paid. It was a novel feeling, being carefree and up to date with his money. Not enough to lure him back to Quantico, but enough to remember how pleasant it was not to be scratching the bottom of his wallet most days. As he walked back towards the entrance, bright in the glaring sun, his phone rang again.
What's the matter, hot stuff? Get lost in the pet food aisle?
Well, Jack Crawford said, his voice strained even as he tried to joke.
Been a long time since someone called me that.
Jack, hey. Wasn't expecting you.
Clearly.
No, really, I wasn't expecting you, Will said seriously.
Something wrong? That's one way of... Yeah, it is. Look, are you somewhere we can talk?
Not really. Give me a minute to get to the car. I'll call you back. And suddenly the bright sunshine and the level-headed happiness and not having to think about bills and looking forward to dinner on the beach was all dulled, muted. His stomach hadn't bothered him in days, but now it nodded unpleasantly. Like the appreciated but unnervingly familiar paycheck, Jack Crawford was adding to his déjà vu. The man always made sure you were somewhere safe before he gave you really bad news. In his hot car, midday in the parking lot out front of the First National Bank, Will Graham phoned Jack Crawford back.
Okay, hit me with it. Are you sitting down?
Jack asked. What am I, 5 years old?
I'm not fucking around, Graham. Sit down and don't interrupt me.
And Jack told him.
And then I'd fly all around the streets and get all the bad guys, and I'd drop them in the jails.
Yeah? Jeff said, grinning as he drove back to the house. Eleanor in the passenger seat, making wild gestures with her arms as she talked.
So you're going to be a cop like your dad, huh?
Uh-huh,
she said, hugging Winston.
Because then I could get all the bad men, and he wouldn't have to worry, and I'd do the right things.
Well, Anthony's coming down to visit in a few weeks. Milo changed the subject, as it steered closer to the things he'd rather avoid. That'll be nice. Because he'd be damned if his ruined marriage was going to ruin his family, and Susan had promised not to let this get in the way, even if she'd still slapped him twice, hard, when he said he was going back to the Keys. He'd known he deserved it. Sometimes there was no right thing to do, and those were the most difficult of times.
Yeah! Yeah!
Ellie was bouncing in her seat.
I had to tell him about all the things I'd seen, and we can go looking for starfish. When's he coming?
Next week, hopefully. But first we're gonna barbecue, right? And when he pulled into the driveway, that's what he had on his mind. Cooking fish, drinking a few beers, and maybe kissing Will until the man asked him to stop, which he hoped he never did. Instead, he turned in off the road to get a view of his front porch, with Will sitting on the stairs next to a lumpy holdall with a jacket slumped on top. Jeff stepped out with a frown, which worsened when Will didn't get up to help Eleanor out of the car. When Jeff picked her up and put her on the ground, she ran to her father and hugged him. Will in one arm, Winston the dog in the other.
Thank you, Daddy, for the ice cream!
That's okay, sweetheart, Will said, his voice low and hollow. You go inside, okay? I need to speak to Mr. Milo.
What's going on? Jeff asked as Ellie hurried through the open door.
Want help with those? Will asked, nodding to the bags in the back seat.
Will,
I'll do the fridge if you do the cupboards.
They put away the groceries in silence. Will would set things up on the counter for Jeff, and Jeff would stare at him while he did it. Eventually, the bags were empty, and Will had nothing left to distract him with.
That bag on the stairs, Jeff said coldly, as Will wiped his hands on a hand towel.
You going somewhere?
Something's happened. I need to go back north.
Jeff nearly bit his own tongue, snapping his mouth shut as he tried to speak. Will was watching him from the corner of his eye. When Jeff managed to stop himself from saying what he actually thought, his words were calm and calculated.
Whatever's going to come out of your mouth next better be fucking good. Dolara Hyde isn't dead.
What?
I said Dolara Hyde. I heard what you said, Will.
So Will stopped talking, which only made Jeff angrier and more confused. Normally Will was a man to speak his mind when he needed to, or even just wanted to. He hadn't been when they'd first met, when Jeff was still forcing himself into Will's reluctant life. He'd been quiet and introverted, and Jeff had learned to tell the difference between when Will was biting his tongue or just genuinely had nothing to say. Now was a biting tongue moment. Jeff felt his world sway, and he sat down in a nearby dining chair.
Tell me you're not going back, was all he could say.
I have to.
No, you don't have to do anything. Are you sure he's even alive?
We're sure. Jeff?
No, don't. Fucking don't, Jeff said, over-enunciating. You're worried he's going to come after you. Is that it? Well, isn't that what the FBI is for? Christ, they owe you. They owe you big time. Get them to send agents down here. Take it in fucking shifts until the bastard tries something. Let them. And let him too. Let him come down here and try to kill you. I'll fucking shoot the bastard between the eyes. Let them all just fucking try it. We'll let them. But for the love of God, please don't leave.
The silence answered for him. He felt ill and furious all at once. It had been such a great week. He'd felt like everything was slotting back into place. He felt that Will had let the shadows of his past lift from his life. He had felt that Will had finally fallen for him the way he had fallen for Will. Now everything was disconnected and unfamiliar, because one of the cogs in a smooth machine had fallen loose. Milo stood up and walked to the front door. Will didn't follow. He picked up the holdall and brought it inside, dropping it on the kitchen table.
Not much in here, he said, opening it with a harsh pull of the zip.
Jeff, Will rubbed at his face.
A change of clothes, your gloves, sunglasses, aspirin.
Wow, traveling light.
You haven't even asked why.
Because I don't care what sorry excuse you're going to give me.
I told you Hannibal was suing Chilton, right?
Oh, what has that got to do with anything? Jeff yelled.
Chilton loaded him in a security van yesterday at midday. He was being transferred to a local county before he could be taken for assessment.
Will, please.
Three security guards, two medics, and a driver. Will's eyes were dark when he caught them. Dallara Hyde was posing as one of the security.
How'd you even know?
Because when the van didn't arrive on time, they put out an APB. Found it today, 5 miles out of Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. And of the 6 guys in the van, one was missing. Hannibal, too. They called the FBI in because they thought. At first, they thought that Lecter had escaped. Only there were prints. Unknown prints. Jimmy Price ran them, and... they're Dallara Hyde's. Dallara Hyde's prints on the back door and the steering wheel. He faked it, Jeff. He faked the whole damn thing with Reba and the fire. Jack was quick on the draw. He... The whole time, Jeff hadn't truly been listening to the words coming from Will's mouth. Instead, he'd been watching his face, trying his best to read him. Will was being purposefully blank and evasive, which led him to one conclusion. So, they tested the bones we thought were his, and it turns out they matched them to some gas store attendant Dallara Hyde and McLean had a tiff with a few weeks back.
You're going for him, Jeff interrupted.
What?
Will stumbled to a halt in his explanation. You're going for him.
A silence in which Will grimaced and scratched at his jaw.
Why would you even ask me that? If it was you, would he come?
I don't know, Will said strictly. And none of that matters because I'm not him. I never will be.
Isn't that the point? Jeff stressed. You're not him, Will. You're you, and you belong here.
I'm not going to leave him alone to die. He's my family. It was the most conviction he'd ever heard from Will's mouth. He'd said it, and he meant it. 150%. Will Graham still loved that sadistic lunatic, and Jeffrey Milo couldn't accept that.
You don't even know! You don't even know that's what happened! Maybe he
let Lecter go. You ever think of that? You said this guy idolized him, right? Jeff knew he was clutching at straws.
You said he wanted to meet him. Maybe he let him go, and now they're both in the wind.
I said the dragon wanted to meet Lecter, Will nodded. But it wouldn't have been for a friendly chat. He wants to kill him, Jeff, just as much as Hannibal wants to kill him, too.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Jeff asked, his tone incredulous. I didn't say it would be rational, Will shrugged. Though it would be rational to them. Hannibal honors those he kills, when he feels like it. And for Dallara Hyde, well, Lecter didn't play his game. He kept me a secret from the dragon, and taking Hannibal is another way to get at me. He knows that.
Oh, he does.
Jeff.
I don't want to hear it, all right? I don't want to hear it.
He didn't want to let Will know he was upset, but it was impossible to hide.
Because you've made up your mind.
He wants to kill him, Jeff.
Oh, God, I don't care! I don't care, all right? I care about Eleanor, and I care about you! I don't care what happens to Hannibal fucking Lecter! The man is a fucking monster!
I want you to be safe. You understand that? I want you and Ellie to be safe with me!
He was interrupted by the sound of a car pulling up outside. Jeff turned and looked, finding a taxi sliding into the bottom of the driveway. The honking horn was loud and abrasive. When he turned, Will was gathering up the items Jeff had pulled from his bag, stuffing them back inside.
Don't. Please don't.
I need to say goodbye to Ellie. Jeffrey Milo sat at his dining room table and put his hand to his mouth. He could hear the sounds of distress floating down the rigid stairs.
What do I do?
When Will reappeared, Jeff stood up and grabbed at him. Will let him, pulling Jeff close with his own reluctant hands. They fit together like two halves, and Jeff grabbed the back of his neck, his other hand taking a fistful of his shirt.
I didn't mean for this to. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Milo.
The horn from the taxi interrupted them, but Will continued regardless.
Don't want you to think I don't love you too. You're good for me, you know that. You're a great guy, and you're too good for me.
Will kissed him, and Jeff held him close.
If you go, that's it.
Jeff felt like he was threatening a tiger with a match, and it hurt. God, did it hurt.
I love you, Jeff thought. I love you so goddamn much.
If he'd thought that it would stop Will in his tracks, he would have said it. Only he knew it wouldn't, and knowing that only made the pain all the sharper. Will reached up and touched his face, ran his thumb over his lips.
Keep her safe for me.
And then he was gone. Jeff swallowed. The taxi left behind a broken man sitting in his empty kitchen, serenaded by the fitful crying of the child on the second floor, who truly believed that her father was never coming home.